Good morning, everybody. I'm Brendan, and you are welcome. Old and young, men and women, girls and boys, old friends and new. Welcome here into the presence of Jesus at Sandbach Baptist Church. Our service will take about an hour, and I'll explain things as we go. But here are just a few pointers. We're here to meet and praise God, so there'll be some songs, and the words will be on the screen. Most people stand and join in, others sit, and some just sit and listen. So whatever you feel comfortable with, there's no pressure. There'll be some prayers, and they will be led from the front, and there'll be a reading from the Bible. That'll also be on screen, so you can follow along. Some of you, I've noticed in other weeks, follow on your phones. And that's okay too, so long as you're not playing games. Later, Sue Thompson will speak based on that reading. And just one or two other things. Don't forget the church newsletter. That comes by email for most of you, but some people get that as a printed out copy, which is great. That's the church through the week, is the church newsletter. Lots of activities. Have a look there. A very important thing. Fire exits, one at the back, one at the front. Equally important, there will be tea and coffee. And very important, a notice from George that has to be read out at the start of this service, next week too, I think. Here's the important notice. Nominations are invited for election as a trustee of Sandbach Baptist Church. Nomination forms can be obtained from George Hill, the church secretary, and must be completed and returned to him not later than Sunday, the 9th of November. Elections will take place at the annual church meeting on Monday, the 24th of November. So that's all the admin out of the way. Let's start by praying. Our Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to come together, to refresh our connection to you, to feed on you, to drink from you, to be nourished and strengthened, to be made braver by you. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're going to start with our first song, I See the King of Glory. That's where our focus is.
I see the King of Glory. Coming on the clouds with fire, the whole earth shakes, the whole earth shakes. I see his love and mercy washing over all our sin. The people sing, the people sing. Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. I see a generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith. I see a near revival stirring as we pray and sing. We're on our knees, we're on our knees. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. Thank you.
Last week, I spent some time with a friend called Penny. And she had her phone with her, but her data was switched off. Now, I'd never quite got to the bottom of why her data was switched off, but it was switched off. She still used her phone in the same way. She sort of picked it out and looked at it, but there was nothing there. There were no messages. There were no emails. There was nothing to reference. She had no maps. I don't know if she wanted to do any shopping, but she couldn't. Without her data, there was nothing. There were times when she really wanted to be in touch with people to say where she was going or what time she'd be back. But she couldn't. Without her data, you are lost. For a phone, being connected is everything. Well, Jesus said something similar. Here is a passage from John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. And they give it the subtitle, The Vine and the Branches. I am the true vine, said Jesus, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So we're going to sing our second song, which reminds us of the message of that passage. You are the vine, we are the branches.
Bye.
I mentioned that Sue Thompson is going to be speaking to us later about the passage that we read, but she's going to give us a little bit of a hint just now.
Actually, need two children and two adults. Could that be arranged? Have we got two children who wouldn't mind helping? You go, oh, thank you. And two adults who wouldn't mind, so that we've got two teams, one of a child and one of an adult. Each team's got an adult and a child in it. Two adults? Yes. Well done. Excellent. Right, now decide. Decide who you'd like to partner you now.
We'll be the tall team.
Oh, right. I've actually got a job that needs doing for later on. And so I'd like you to help me. You've got your instructions and what you need in there, and you've got your instructions for what you need in there. Perhaps you'd like to just have a little look, and perhaps you could read out. Eleanor, perhaps can you read your instructions first? Yes. Cutting out a blue circle. Where's your instructions? Hang on. Don't confuse the two. Don't confuse the two things. That's right. What's your job?
To cut out
an
orange circle.
Cut out an orange circle. Right. So, first of all, Eleanor, you're cutting out a blue circle. Have you got anything to help you in your bag? You've got a pair of scissors. That's a good help. What else do you need?
Blue paper.
Some blue paper. Mm-hmm. Now, could it be that anybody brought some blue paper with them this morning? Because they can't do it without. Impossible. Impossible. Eleanor, I think if you look at Stuart, you might find what you're looking for. Oh, what have you got now? You've got blue paper, handily with a circle drawn on it, and you've got some scissors. So could you do your job? Right. What have you got on yours, Sophelia? You've got?
Half a scissors.
And have you got some paper? You've got some paper, so that's fine. And you've got? Show everybody. How are you going to do anything with that? You see, they're doing fine. They're making good progress. You're not going to do anything, are you? Unless there's somebody here. Don't do that on the floor. We'll get told off if it goes through. Unless there's somebody here who might help. Do you think there's somebody here who might help? Oh, you see, there's always somebody who might help.
Half a scissor.
Now the trick. Oh, thank goodness. Right. So you're both able now to cut out my two circles. That is a brilliant one. Oh, let's show everybody. Excellent blue circle. That's just what I needed. And we'll just give Celia a bit longer to do hers. And then we've got an orange one. And then you've done my job for later on. And afterwards, you can tell me what the job was, what I needed them for. You can ask me and I'll tell you. Right. Lovely. You see, you couldn't actually have managed that job without a bit of help, could you? It was a bit tricky. No, we needed each other to help. You needed Stuart and you needed Dave. And we'll think about that again a bit later. Adults. Don't know what you're doing. Thank you very much. I'll have my scissors.
Thank you, Sue. We're now going into some more songs, three songs. Jesus Loves the Church, How Great is Our God, and Hosanna. And in the last of those, we will take up our collection. It's worth saying in regard to the collection, that means that there'll be a bag going round and there'll be some boxes going round. The bag is money going into the bag. For the bag goes for the work of the church, and for the boxes that goes to our supported children. This is how some regulars in the church give through our collection, but please feel no pressure. Others give online, so they'll just be waving the bags and things past. And if you're a visitor, please feel free to do the same. So let's sing. And at the end. Classes.
Jesus loves the church. He gave himself for his bride. He knows what we will be, a conquering army, an unblemished people. We're accepted.
necessarily acknowledge the privilege we want to give back to you in your life. And we pray for where this money goes. We pray for the work of the church here in Sandwich and further afield. We pray especially for the young people all across the world. We pray for them, the difficult circumstances some of them, but we just pray for them that they will know your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come now to a time of two things together. A sort of combined time of notices and prayer. Because I tried separating them, but then I wanted to pray about the things that were in the notices. So we're putting them together. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, you taught us to pray. And almost the first thing you put in that prayer was, your kingdom come. So we pray for your kingdom to come now in the world as we see it. I don't think there's ever been a time when there's been peace everywhere and everyone's thought this is wonderful, but it seems at the moment that there's a lot of things going on that we feel very concerned about. Wars and famines and hurricanes and just disunity among people, violence. And so we pray for your kingdom to come. We remember that you are the king. We pray especially for peace. And we remember, Lord Jesus, that you said, blessed are the peacemakers. So we pray for the peacemakers. We pray that you will raise up peacemakers. We pray for that to be so in Gaza, that this will peace, that the peace we see there, the beginnings of peace we see there, will hold and will turn into a long and just peace, despite all the difficulties that we see ahead. And we pray the same for Ukraine, however impossible that seems, and also East Africa or Northeast Africa. We pray for peace and for peacemakers. We pray for our church family. There are some names in the church notices, but we know that all of us need your care, and all of us need a direct connection to you. So we pray. We think of all the people we know in the church. We pray and we know their needs. We know some of their needs. But you know all their needs. And we pray that you will bless them. You will bless us. We see in the church notices all those regular activities. We pray that you will bless those regular activities so that the people who attend them will be blessed and in turn will bear fruit to their out into the community as well. We remember what's going on this week, this weekend even. We notice that George, Howard, Chris and Andrea are not here. And we know that's because they're with the young people of Energize at Kai Cannell this weekend. Lord, we thank you for the amazing efforts and time that George, Howard, Chris and Andrea put into that work. And we ask you to bless it. We pray for those young people that something will happen in their lives, that they will begin to know you. We pray for Rob Cross, the speaker, that you'll give him the right words. This coming Saturday, there's a shoebox packing day at Oasis between 10 and 12. But it's not just a packing day, Lord. We know it's those boxes and where they're going to all the children. All the children those boxes will help. All reached by those boxes. We pray for all the children reached by those boxes and their families around them who are blessed by them. But we pray for all who don't get a box because we know it's a drop in the ocean. We pray for children everywhere. We know they're a special concern of yours, and we pray for them. And in the middle of this week, we have Mike King's funeral and celebration of life. There are details in the notices, and that's great. It's the Crewe Crematorium on Wednesday, 1:45, and afterwards at Sandbach Rugby Club. A funeral and celebration, Lord. So there's sadness, and that's appropriate. Jesus wept when he knew of the death of Lazarus. And yet it's a celebration too, partly celebration of Mike's life, but mostly because we know about the resurrection. That's where the joy comes in. That's one reason why Michael said, smart casual, no black, except for trousers. No black ties. The undertakers are wearing blue. Blue is good. But if you've not got blue, anything will do except black. Because for us as Christians, yes, there is sadness in death. But there is joy too. And we choose to celebrate Mike's life and his future with you. And we thank you, Mike. Thank you, God, for Mike's life, his gruff twinkle and his sense of humour, and his courage, his quiet courage. We thank you for his eternal place with you. And we pray for the family, for Mary, Sonia, Martin, and the rest. We pray that they will know confidence and comfort and energy too to do all the things that need doing when someone dies. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And now we're going to sing again. And the song is How Lovely on the Mountains Are the Feet of Him. But the key point is, in brackets, it says, Our God Reigns. And that's what we're remembering just after we've said our prayers. God is in charge. God reigns. Sit down. So we've read about the vine and we've read about the branches, and so now we pray for Sue as she comes up to speak to us. We pray, Father, that Sue will be a branch strongly connected into the vine, so that what she says will bear fruit in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Very nice. Don't need that, do I? Oh, what it is to have stuff. If you remember, when Alistair left us in August, he was preaching on a series of I am the Jesus is the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And actually, I am the vine was the one which didn't get done by Alistair. So we had a little conversation, and I said I'd pick it up and complete that series of I am sayings of Jesus in the autumn. And today was the date that we finished with. So that's why it's a rather odd. It's out of the context, really. But you might remember a few weeks ago, I brought some grapes. I didn't bring any more today. They have been producing fruit all this time. I think we must have had 100 bunches of grapes on that vine at the back of our garden. Since about a month ago, Mark has had them every morning. So that's 40 odd. There's 40 odd, I counted this morning. The birds are getting them now and they are past it. But they have been an abundant harvest. And I thought that was a good example of the branches being rooted in the vine and the branches bearing fruit. I mean, they were very small, but they were okay, weren't they? Where's Mark?
They were sweet.
They were sweet, yes. Yes, quite small. the reading said, we can bear fruit if we remain attached to Jesus. And that's a familiar thought. We've thought this before. Let's move on a bit, because there's an important picture there of what the church is. Because if we're attached to the vine, we're all attached to each other. You can't just have a branch over there doing its own thing. It is linked with all those others that are bearing fruit, that are rooted in the vine. We can't be an individual branch, even rooted in Jesus, on our own. We have to have the full range of branches, the complete plant. And that's what the church is. Do you remember the other picture which St. Paul gives us? The picture of the body of Christ. And how we are all part of the body. You might only be a little toe, but you're nevertheless part of the body. And if one suffers, they all suffer. You know what it's like when you've got a sore little toe? The whole body, as it were, suffers. So let's just hold in our minds the vine and its picture of the group of us being together as the church. We're linked in that very special way as the church. It's not a tennis club. We're actually rooted to each other and linked to each other very much more closely in a very special way. So what does it mean to be part of a church, to be attached to Christ? Sorry, I keep touching the microphone. And therefore to be linked to each other. I wanted the children to do the little job they did to point out that we can't always actually do things on our own. We may have resources which other people need, or we may have a job to do within the church for which we need the resources of other people. We cannot be individuals on our own. We are dependent on each other for God's work to be done. Now, it's very easy to think, and I do it often, me and God, we can do this together. You know, me and God, we're fine. We'll just get on with it. But actually, it isn't quite like that, is it? Me and God is very much less than me and you and God doing a job. And sometimes it's imperative that other people help with the job. We need their resources, their strengths, their insights, their different aspects of the faith that they bring to us to complete our work for God. So me and God, we can do this, won't do. That's one picture of the church. Let's look at another one. Thank you, Joe. How many of you know this picture? Right, just have a little look at it and see what you think it says to us. Any offers, Lynn?
Knit together.
Pardon?
I can see knitting needles. Is it knit together?
It's knitting, isn't it? Can you see the needles at the top? And what are they knitting? What are those hands knitting? People. Yes. They're knitting people. Whose hands are those? There is a clue in the arms, isn't there? The world. It is Jesus. It's God, the maker of the world, knitting. And I think sort of God doing a piece of knitting is rather nice. It's a picture. It was actually a picture which won an award for a child's picture of world peace. And this was the picture of world peace. But I think it also speaks to us of the nature of the church. People being knitted together, doing God's work. Can you see a cross in it? Yes. Just slightly in the knitting needles, you can see in a slightly strange cross, but it reminds us that we are all making our way up to into God's hands. I don't think they're standing on each other to push each other down. I think they're lifting each other up, I like to think. Anya Rosen, it's by. I think it's a lovely picture, that. Another picture of the church. The work which God is knitting through the church. There's more. Sorry. I have to tell you a bit of Baptist history. A question. When was the first Baptist church in history, as it were, inaugurated? I'll give you a choice. 1640, 1740, or 1840? Just have a little think. Offers for 1840? I'm going backwards. 1740? 1640. Yes, you are right. 1640. It's not a clear date, actually, because there was history before that. Before 1640 in the church and after Henry VIII, you went to church and the priest, whether you were Catholic or a Protestant, by and large, the vicar, the priest, told you what to do. Before 1640, it's possible that you couldn't read. It's also possible that you didn't have a Bible. And on Sunday morning, the priest told you what to do, told you the stories from the Bible, told you what Jesus said. He gave you bread and wine, and sometimes he baptized. And that was how it was. Christians were by and large told what to do by the priest, actually by the state as well. And round about the beginning of the 1600s, the printing press was around. There were more Bibles around, more people could read. And groups of people started to get together outside the regular church, look at the Bible together and say, this isn't how it was in the early church. The early church read the Bible together and then interpreted it for themselves, understood it for themselves by discussing with each other. What they used to do was go to church, have lunch, and then have a Bible study afterwards, I'm told. And gradually, these little groups of people set themselves up as independent worshipping congregations outside the Church of England or the Roman Catholic Church. They were not welcomed. They were persecuted because the state didn't like it, and actually the priests didn't like it either. And a lot of them went abroad. They went to Amsterdam. There was a big independent church in Amsterdam. And gradually they came back. There was politically in more freedom, and although they were still persecuted. Do you remember John Bunyan's story? John Bunyan was imprisoned for 12 years for preaching without a license. And he's still, there's a cartoon of John Bunyan shouting out his sermon through the bars of his prison. 1640, though, is important because the church then was more settled. And I've forgotten the math, 1990, six churches decided that they would celebrate the fact that they had been Baptist churches for 350 years and were still worshipping. And those six churches were probably the oldest churches that we would recognise, rather than just little groups. It was important to me because I was at that time a new minister in Sheffield, working with an Anglican colleague, and we were setting up an Anglican Baptist church in a brand new building. And those six churches said, we want a link with a new church. And we were about the newest church in the Baptist Union then. So we had this link with these six churches. And it went on for some time. And my Anglican colleague, Richard, and I went and preached and did services and things in these churches. Have you any idea where those six churches were? Do you know where the oldest Baptist churches are? Is Jenny here? Yeah. Jenny would have known. They were all in the south, I'm afraid. There was one in Warwick, which is Midlands, Tewkesbury, Bristol. I've forgotten where the others were. Warwick, Tewkesbury, Bristol, St Albans. And I can't remember the other two. If you get a chance, go to Tewkesbury Baptist Church. It's very subject to flooding because it's near the floodplain from the river. But it's a very, very old building, classic Baptist building, with a very, very high pulpit because the word was important. And when I went to Bristol to preach, and The church met upstairs there, and when I was there, I was shown going up the stairs, the rope which they'd got instead of banisters, so that when their lookout said the sheriff's men are coming to arrest the preacher, the women and girls thronged the stairs, holding on to these ropes so that the sheriff's men couldn't get in to give the preacher time to go. And if he couldn't quite manage to get out, all the men of the church used to gather around and say, no, I wasn't preaching. Now, I've no idea who was preaching, so they'd got nobody to arrest. One of the things which is important about these little churches that got together, they were all what we call gathered churches. They were gatherings of believers, because these were the people who believed in Jesus and they gathered together. And we are still in that line. It's very important for us to remember that we are a gathered congregation. We don't have to be here. We don't just come because we like the church. We are gathered to each other as a congregation. Ruth Goldborn is a minister in Cheadle Hume. And she says, she writes in the Baptist Times magazine for autumn about the gathered church. So I'll read you a bit of it. Because we're still in this line. Believers in the 17th century, she writes, knew themselves to be the church because they trusted the promise that in the gathering of the people in the name of Jesus, the Lord was among them. And that made them church, the gathering. It was for them the gathering that mattered, not just the meeting up with like-minded people to share ideas, but gathering in the name of Jesus. Not simply because being together was pleasant, but as a theological conviction expressed through practical action. This was at the heart of what eventually shaped Baptist origins. Gathering was a fundamental aspect of being Baptist. It's all of a piece, isn't it, with being connected to the vine, with being part of the knitting, the gathering. And we are today part of that tradition from 400 years ago. Not just for worship, but to seek God's will as we live out our faith. When we gather, not just for worship, but in study and service, and in the church meeting to discuss buying Oasis and looking at God's will for the future, continuing the practice of that 1640 church. Can I take you back to Elijah in the cave? Elijah in the cave sat and watched the earthquake, wind and fire, listened for the still small voice on his own. And that is fine. We listen for the still small voice of God speaking to us individually on our own. And at this time, particularly, we listen for his direction for the future of the church here. However, that isn't the only way God speaks. Every time you meet with other people, listen for God's voice speaking to us as a church, through those other people. Wherever you gather, let's listen for the voice of God. We go to BAP, we sing in the music group, we do messy church, we get energized like Howard and Andrea and George and Chris will come back, not energized but exhausted this afternoon. And we listen in the pantry, we listen in the food bank. We listen when we meet in meetings, ordinary meetings like business meetings in the leadership team, or when we meet in church meeting, we listen to what is said, because God speaks to us as a body, as a gathered community. Every part of life, let's listen to each other attentively as different people speak at church meeting, in coffee afterwards. See what God is saying to us about the future of the church. Catch that little small voice of guidance and encouragement and leading, speaking to us through other people. I have to say, I'm not very good at this. I'm not very good at listening to people's conversations, because I'm always waiting to see when there's a gap in the conversation where I can say my bit. I promise you, I will stop doing that. And I will quite deliberately listen attentively in toddler group and in other places where I go, pantry. What are people saying to us about church? What do we need to hear? What is God saying to us? I am comforted by the fact that there is a book, which I was reminded of the other day, from the 1970s, called The Go-Between God. Does anybody remember The Go-Between God? And what The Go-Between God said was, in every conversation, there is a go-between. The Holy Spirit is there in every conversation, going between two people, which is why sometimes when you have a conversation, you say something to somebody and actually they heard something completely different, because it happens to preachers quite a lot, that they say, thank you for the word about so-and-so, and you think, I didn't say that. The go-between God is not only in the speaker, but in the hearer. And whenever we speak attentively listening, we are hearing the go-between. Whenever we speak, we are led by the go-between God, who will communicate the message to the hearer. So interestingly, between me and every one of you this morning, the go-between God is there. When you speak after coffee, the go-between God will be between the two of you, or the group of you. So perhaps you could start listening when we have coffee. And thank you very much that we are having coffee. Let's pray. Living Lord, you are the vine in which we all find life, nourishment and strength. Keep us attached strongly to you and therefore to each other. Teach us also how to play our part in your work of knitting. And most of all, may we gather together to learn from you, to be blessed by you, to hear your guiding voice to us as a church by attentive listening to each other. Lord, we ask our prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen. And because we are a gathered church, we will sing one of the old songs about God binding us together. If you can remember, in verse 3, where it says I and my, will you sing we and our? But it doesn't matter if you forget. The first two verses, it's okay, but the third verse starts being about me rather than us. So try and change the words, but sing it anyway.
Together.
swapping you for us, wasn't it? Lynn says, if you didn't pick up your math box, they are outside, empty ones outside in the porch. Where? There. Oh, they're that corner. So we go in God's name, and may the blessing of God, who is creator, redeemer, and go-between, go with us now and always. Amen.